After traveling several months with my family and four little children, and being in different homes, we haven't lived in a home of our own since leaving Europe, and seeing our children in action, I think I need to do some rethinking on this subject of building. We were flying across the Atlantic, and our little four-year-old, she was only three then, was sitting in the back of the plane with a little boy coloring, and her mother overheard her talking, and she was saying, "Oh," she said, "my mother is so old." She said, "She's 46. And my daddy, he's so young, he's only 25. And so they've been doing a little adding and subtracting on our ages, and then we were sitting in an airport waiting for a plane, and I told my little three-year-old to watch my overcoat. When I came back, there was a lady with a big, beautiful mink stole on and diamonds glittering from her ears and neck and fingers. And she said, "You know, your little girl has been talking to me." And I said, "Oh, what'd she say?" She said, "Don't you dare take my daddy's coat." But I'm watching it, and don't you dare take it. And the lady said, "Well, is your daddy thin or is your daddy fat?" And she said, "Oh, my daddy's very fat." And then we were with some relatives, and this lady took out a cigarette, and my little four-year-old said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Why, of course I'm a Christian." She looked at her and said, "Huh, Christians don't smoke." And she turned around and walked out the door. So we've been having quite some experiences. On the subject of building, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. The navigators, as you all know, we're called to recruit, build, see the Lord send laborers into his harvest. The subject this morning is building. The time, it's impossible to discuss this in much detail. And even if we did discuss it in detail for a week, I think we would conclude that we are only scratching the surface on the subject of building. There's so much to learn. And one of my favorite passages on the subject of building is found in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 15. "Ye are God's building," we read. I won't take time to read the passage, but you might like to read it and reflect on it later. But please keep your Bibles open to this passage. In it we read, "Ye are God's building. As a wise master builder, another buildeth thereon. Take heed how he builds thereupon. If any man build on this foundation, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." You and I are building. We're building in people's lives whether we like it or not. Building involves three things as I see it. It involves teaching, which is imparting knowledge. We'll be going back to this. It involves training, the acquiring of a skill. Thirdly, it involves transmitting a communication of the virtues of the Spirit of Christ from your life to another life. There are certain things which we use in building. In this passage we see that you can build with gold, silver, verse 12, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. You see, we're building whether we like it or not. We may be building with wood, hay, and stubble that will burn. Or we may be building with gold, silver, and precious stones which will endure. But my influence on another life is either a plus or a minus. I'm either transmitting the virtues of the Spirit of Christ to another life, or I'm transmitting the virtues, or can't call them virtues, but the characteristics of the flesh. And so we do build whether we like it or not. Now, what is gold in building? Gold refers to, in Scripture, to the divine relationship. And the tabernacle, and we're tabernacle, we're the Lord's building, His temple, His tabernacle in which the Spirit of God dwells. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle, when it was built, first there was wood, and the wood was overlaid with gold. Wood refers to human relationship. And gold refers to divine relationship. And every aspect of our human life should be overlaid with gold. Every area of the whole man, his personality, his social life, his business life, his family life, his own personal life, mind and spirit and body, should be overlaid with gold, with a divine relationship. And then there is silver. Silver, referring to the redemption money, which was used in the tabernacle. Here again. The tabernacle was built with silver sockets. The silver was melted and there was refined, melted, and these sockets were made on which the poles which held the tabernacle up were placed. And we see in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And He is our foundation. And everything which is based on our divine relationship, our fellowship with the Lord, must be integrated to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. These are just introductory remarks. I'll try to get practical in just a moment. And then there are the precious stones, which refer, I believe, to the virtues of Jesus Christ, the very personality of Jesus Christ might be manifest, magnified in your life and in mine. Building. What is it? Teaching, training, transmitting into the life of an individual. Gold, the divine relationship, silver, the foundation of Jesus Christ, His person, His work, integrated into every part of our life. And thirdly, precious stones, the very personality of Christ manifest in you and me. Shall we pray? as we look to the Lord to teach us how to build. Lord, we come to Thee. We have no other to come. And we ask that You will teach us how to be laborers, builders, together with Thee. Lord, we pray that Thou would give us divine insight and a sense of being practical in this great task which is set before us. And we ask for grace. I ask for grace even now as I speak, that Thou would make each one of us wise master builders in the lives of other people. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. How to build. I think first we need to realize that God is the builder. And we are laborers together with God. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the growth. God is the one who gives the growth. God is the one who builds, and we are laborers together with him. And in verse 5, God gives the men. Jesus prayed concerning the men which thou gavest me out of the world. God gives us the men to whom, or the women, in which we are to build. He is the builder, and he gives us the person. Ye are God's building, the individual in whose life we are to build. This must originate, in other words, with God, and not with us. Now I can think in my life of spending time with many, many people. In the Navy, when I first came across 2 Timothy 2:2, my desire was to spend time with a man. And I can remember a number who I tried to help. And in every case, I think, the person did not continue. In a sense, I was discouraged. But if there's one thing that is involved in building, it's patience and steadfastness. I've seen many come and I've seen many go. I've seen many try and quickly become discouraged and drop out of the race, so to speak, as far as building in another's life. I remember my first year at McAllister College. I met with several fellows. Not one of them paid off. Not one. Now, I think there were some things here which the Lord was trying to do. Trying to teach me. First of all, he was trying to teach me patience and steadfastness. And I'm just tossing my notes away, so to speak, here. I just want to, in the time remaining, refer to some personal experiences along the line of building. God was trying to teach me Hebrews 6:12. That this is a spiritual work. And spiritual work involves certain things. Hebrews 6. Verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That ye be not slothful. That ye be diligent. That you be working at this day and night. Steadfastly. Because you see, this ministry of building in another's life can be traced back to Scripture, beginning with Abraham, who was seeking for a son of promise. Now, if God gives the man or the woman in whose life we must build, we must receive this son or daughter of promise, this Isaac, this father or mother of the thousands upon thousands, of generations upon generations. And one must get in grips, first of all, with God. We are laborers together with Him, and it's His work. And so this means that we must become men and women of God who know how to obtain the promises, even as Abraham did. Now, for Abraham, it was 25 years. Most of us know Romans 4, 20 and 21. Patiently endured. Strong in faith. Giving glory to God. He was not easily discouraged. Despaired. But his eyes were upon the Lord, and he was everlastingly at it to obtain an Isaac. Many times in the flesh, which we do not advocate, but he was everlastingly at it, steadfastly at it. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith, that leaning of our entire personality and dependence upon God. And patience, waiting for God to give us the man. The woman. This is His work. First we must receive the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. And one lesson I learned at McAllister, I had spent a year going around trying to have some building in Christians' lives. And one of the lessons I learned there was, God gave me the man when I was active in evangelism. God gave me Raj Anderson, who's now directing our work in the Netherlands, when I was active in evangelism. Now, there were a number of fellows I met with at McAllister, and I didn't know the moment I met Roger Anderson that he was the man God would give me in a unique way. And this is a second lesson, or another lesson. And this was that God wants me to build in many lives. And in the activity of evangelism and building in many lives, God will single out individuals who He gives me in a unique way to do some man-to-man building in depth. The same happened in Formosa. The first year, I remember I was trying to meet with some people to build in their lives, and we would get together once a week or twice a week or whatever it may be. And we would sit there in my office, and I would try to be building in their lives, in quotes. But it didn't seem to work. And then God led me out into a ministry of the Word, both in evangelism, but also in teaching. A ministry of the Word. And it was in this ministry of the Word that God gave me the man, David Liao, who took over the work we were doing in Formosa, Chinese. I remember the first time I met him. And then, at that time, he was working and we were trying to get him interested into working with us in some particular project, but he wasn't available. But later he became available. And it was when we were in the ministry of the Word together that God gave me his heart, that he began to see this NAV vision of 2 Timothy 2:2. We didn't just begin meeting together on an appointment basis. We met together for prayer because of the Bible study groups that he was interpreting for me in. We went over the principles which we were teaching, the Bible studies we were doing. We discussed the individuals in the class and how we could build into their life as a group and individually. And it was being in the ministry together that God gave us David. In evangelism, God gave us Raj. In the ministry of the Word, he gave us David. All right, God has to give you the man. But then what do you do when he gives you the man? Well, remember now, God is the builder. And God has made every one of us different. There are no two people alike. We each have about the same square inches around our face, but every face is different. Every fingerprint is different. And the print or the plan, the blueprint that God has for your life is different than mine. Each one is different. We can't pour them into a mold. But we must be laboring together with God. This means that I must be in communication with God. That there must be much time in prayer before the throne, praying over this person, every area of their life, their potentialities, their weaknesses. This means that there must be much time in the Word of God, reflecting over this person. You see, a builder is not basically a leader. A builder is basically a servant. A builder is not basically someone who has come to be ministered unto, but he's someone who's come to minister. A builder is not basically someone who is trying to achieve some type of recognition, advancement, and success. A builder is basically one who wants to give, not receive. Paul is this type of person in 2 Corinthians 12:15, when he says, though the more abundantly the I love you, the less I be loved. Nevertheless, I am willing, I am glad to spend and be spent for you. Building is a spending of yourself. It is a spending of all your resources that you have in Christ for someone else. It is a person who has such godly concern that they can say with Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:9, for we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection or edification or maturity. You see what gets in the way in building? Self. Self. It's ambitions. So on. The most successful building that I have seen is when a person has the time, takes the time, to have a detailed prayer list for the person to whom God has given it. And they're willing to spend and be spent. They have the love of Christ for this person. They're willing to give themselves in prayer, in study, for this individual. You see, this is why building is difficult. You can't just give a little formula and put it on everyone. Now, as we go along, we see that this building must be upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. In other words, first, I must be in communion with Christ, the carpenter, the master builder. And all that I receive from him concerning this person, I must give. But give in a certain way, relating everything that I can to the foundation of Jesus Christ. I've seen building in the basics, not relating it to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The word, prayer, obedience, witnessing. But this has to be related to the hub, to the person of Jesus Christ. Now, let me try to give you some principles, not a formula, but some principles to follow in building in another's life. Following these three T's, teaching, training, and transmitting. For example, here are some guidelines that might help you. You get alone with the Lord and you list everything that you can teach to another person. Colossians 1:28. Teaching everyone we can all that we know about Jesus Christ. What do you know about Jesus Christ? Or what spiritual truths do you know that you can relate to the foundation Christ? List everything you know. And then after listing everything you know, maybe you need to list some things you don't know. That you cannot communicate, you cannot teach, you cannot impart this knowledge, but you need to know it. And then, perhaps you would want to do some Bible study, topical Bible study, simplified topical Bible studies on these subjects so that you are equipped and prepared. One of the most effective builders I have ever met in my life took this suggestion and made a topical study on everything this person could think about that could be communicated and built into another's life, relating it to Christ. We must become equipped ourselves to build. Then you may want to, after you've got the list compiled, you may want to list what order you think would be the most normal progression of these spiritual principles related to the person of Christ. Now, let me give you a warning. Never follow this list. But what does it give you? It gives you a nice little prayer list of things. It equips and prepares you for that time when in a spontaneous way, under the direction of the Spirit, you can sit down and share with this person this thing because it is a vital need in their life. You know, there's a point of learning. For example, if a person's going to get married and he wants some counsel concerning the husband-wife relationship, that's a wonderful point of learning. The fellow happens to be a woman hater, and you don't want to cover this subject. It's not timely. Point of learning. Now, there are also some things which you will want to teach them before they face them. This is the other side of the coin. Forewarning is forearming. Talking about making lists, here's another list. You should have a list of the things that you have experienced in your life and that you have observed that have knocked people out of the race. That has either set them on a tangent or laid them aside or crippled them. Fellas, gals, whatever it may be. And you have to then be equipped in the Word of God to deal with these subjects. Now, some of these things are much easier to build into a person's life before they face the problem. Let's say a fellow he's in love with a gal, and this does not seem to be a good match for one reason or another. Maybe she isn't a Christian, or maybe she isn't wholehearted for the Lord, or whatever the case may be. Well, he's subjectively involved. It's very difficult to deal with this problem. But if you forewarned, you forearmed, if you built the spiritual principles from the Word of God into his life concerning this, and the problem comes up, it's not as big a problem. You have a reference point, an objective reference point which you can refer to. Then there's this matter of training. Now let me just mention one other thing on teaching. There are five steps of learning. Did you know this? Five steps of learning. Got this out of the archives of the Navigators. There is first, they recognize. They recognize the spiritual truth. Let's take assurance of salvation. Secondly, they can repeat what they learned from you, like a parrot. Doesn't mean they've learned. This means they're in a second stage. Thirdly, they can repeat this with their own illustrations. Fourthly, let's say this assurance, which is one of the basic things to build into a person's life, is functioning in their life. Not only the assurance of salvation, perhaps the assurance of sanctification, that God is at work in them, that he'll never fail them nor forsake them. And then, fourth, I'm on five. That they understand the underlying principles. This means that they can relate this spiritual truth to other spiritual truths and to the Christian life. Then there's training, the acquiring of a skill. Well, what do you train people in? Well, we train them in Bible study. Do you have a plan of Bible study to begin someone with, to take them on, till they're on their own in Bible study? Are you able to train them in other different types of Bible study? And not only train them to just get something out of the Word, but how they can apply this to their life, to their own situations, to their ministry. You see, teaching, if it was all teaching, then we could just be funneling information. But it has to be training too, the applying of these truths to their lives. And then, same way with scripture memory, the same way with evangelism. You can't just teach someone evangelism, you've got to go out with them in evangelism. What we did, and what we try to do in Europe and in Formosa, we try to link our teaching with our training. If I'm teaching someone along some particular line, then we want to have a training situation to put them into so that they can experience this. Some of the countries, if we have a conference and we're going to teach about evangelism, then we open up a way so they can go out in evangelism with us. So it's not just teaching, but it's also training. And then, lastly, transmitting. This comes from 2 Timothy 2:2. Things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. This word does not mean an imparting of light, but it means a transmission of life. Many things are caught more than they're taught. And if time permitted, I could give you a list of men and virtues which from their life were transmitted, at least in some degree, to mine. And I don't remember necessarily hearing them teach it or are discussing it, but it was transmitted as we prayed and worked together. Man to man. Transmission does not only be, it's not only caught necessarily, but sometimes it comes when we speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Sometimes it comes when we have to go to a person in meekness and talk to them about an area of their life. And I don't believe we can exclude this from building. Where you can look a person in the eye and tell them the truth. Where cannot be hypocritical and be a builder. We must be honest with one another. There may be a time only to pray, but there is a time also to speak. Speaking the truth in love. And in Hebrews 10:24, we don't have time to turn to it, we're told to stimulate or provoke one another to love and to good works. And a prerequisite to reproof is to stimulate the person to love. If I know someone really loves me, they're spending and being spent for me, and they come to me and talk to me about something, I'm most likely to receive it. But if they're trying to throw their weight around and exercise some authority and leverage and speak from a lofty position, I may not respond too readily. Paul Paul prays that we may abound in love and in judgment. Well, in closing, may I just ask you some questions? This is a leadership conference. You're invited to this conference because we believe you're building in people's lives. And Psalm 139, 23, 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." I would like to ask you, people in leadership conference, some questions. Because if these things are functioning in your life, you're laboring together with God. And I believe you'll be building in other people's lives. The first thing, are you open to others to build in your life? Are you open for others to reprove you and correct you and instruct you? I've been around long enough now to know that if you aren't, you will only get people started. You'll never take them very far. And I've been in this business long enough to know that there are a good many people who've dedicated their lives and their ministries to building in others who are far too reluctant to let others build in them. Quick to justify themselves, to excuse themselves. Are you open to others to build in your life? Two, not only are you open, but are you seeking help from others? I've been introduced as the director of the work in Europe. Well, I can give you a good number of people who I seek help from, who I want to build into my life, and I take the initiative and seek the help. And you will enter into a stage where either you level off or you keep going on. And remember, you can only take people as far as you've gone. And I've seen people enter the stage where they level off. Yes, now they know how to help a person get started and lead someone else to Christ and so on. And they know a little bit. And they have some success. But they've stopped seeking help from others. And they've leveled off. In fact, they may be on the decline. Three, are you maturing? Are you growing and deepening in the Word? Are you becoming a man and a woman of the Word of God? Are you really growing in your relationship to Christ? Is He more real and more intimate and more vital to you now than He's been? You can't help others grow if you're not growing. And this is a process. This is something that continues. If people see you're standing still, they're not going to want to follow a statue. Are you growing in your Christian character? Your love, your patience, your long-suffering, your humility, your meekness, your faith. Are you growing? Four. Is your faithfulness dependent on someone checking up on you? Is your faithfulness dependent on someone checking up on you? Or are you learning to walk with God? Are you becoming more and more sufficient in Christ? Not independent, sufficient. Do you have a list of immediate goals for your own life? Are you praying about them? Are you seeking help from them? And so on. 6. Are you working on the basics? Are you reworking the basics? Are you coming to know and understand the basics more and more? Or have you passed that phase of the basics? 7. Are your capacities being enlarged? Are your capacities being enlarged? Are you able to take on more this year than you took on last year? Are your capacities being enlarged? And then 8, which I've already mentioned, but I want to underscore. Is the Lord becoming more and more your sufficiency? More and more your life. More and more your all in all. If this is taking place in your life, the lives within whom you have contact will find that you're building in them. Shall we pray? Father, we acknowledge our insufficiency, our lack, but we thank you that we are laborers together with thee, and thou dost more than make up the lack in our lives. So we would call upon thee that thy grace would be sufficient for us, that according to the grace of God we may become wise master builders in the lives of those who you trust in our care. And we thank you that we stand not alone in this, but thou dost stand next to us. And we pray that we may become those who are in such close, intimate communion with yourself, that we will know how to pray, how to build in others' lives, what to build, when to build it, and that our lives would transmit the fullness of Christ to them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.